You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Peter Patton, who's the Chicago Bulls head of player development, was fired yesterday, or let go yesterday, depending on the wording that you want to use there. And the players have reportedly not reacted the best to it. Could this be the first step in creating that separation between the players and the front office? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, Bobby Marks has said that the Chicago Bulls have three players on the trade block heading into the offseason. I think a couple of those may surprise some Bulls fans. We're going to talk about all that, plus the mailbag, right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And we had a breaking news episode that I released both on podcast form and on YouTube, of course, in regards to the Bulls firing Peter Patton, right? And so I'm not going to get all into the weeds of that again. No real new information has come in since we did that. But I do want to talk about the lasting implications that this could have on the Chicago Bulls. Now, we'll see how it develops over time, of course. But and maybe this is something that the Bulls replace him with somebody that the Bulls players feel pretty confident in, and maybe it can smooth it over. But when you fire somebody that your players reportedly almost universally love, so many players over the course of time have talked about how much Peter Patton has helped their shot, right? When you look at it, Matis Buzelis and the way that his three-point shot has gotten better, right? His release and everything has looked better under just one season being coached by Peter Patton. Kobe White, his two best seasons of his NBA career, he heavily credited Peter Patton for being one of the few coaches that has ever really talked to him about ways he can change his shot, things he can do better, because he's always been a good shooter. DeMar DeRozan, part of the reason why DeMar DeRozan was incorporated better into a more fast-paced offense last season was heavily credited to Peter Patton, and Peter Patton working with DeMar DeRozan. Alex Caruso had his best shooting season under Peter Patton, and Peter Patton helping him there. Ayo Dosunmu, right? The growth here, Josh Giddey's best three-point shooting season, right? I could go on and on about the players that he's helped with, right? And it's been real, like, especially as we're hearing more and more come out, that a lot is coming out that Peter Patton was very important into that, right? And the thing that really stood out about this report to me is that when news reached Bulls players of the decision to fire the development and shooting coach Peter Patton, is that the core of players were beyond pissed was the exact phrasing there, going so far as to say that one Bulls player said, "Coach Pete was the real deal. This is messed up." And so that's the thing. Like, and to hear that part of it was that Peter Patton was one of the guys who was not a yes man. He was not afraid to question what was going on and call some things out. Not in the sense of trying to be disruptive, but just trying to get to a place of, hey, if we're going to really fix this, we need to be honest about where certain things are. And you need somebody like Peter Patton to be involved in that. And the fact that's one of the guys that was let go is really crazy, right? It's really crazy when it comes down to it, man. And that's just where this thing sits now, right? So now you have players upset over the firing of a head coach. You have fans that are questioning why this move happened at a time where you're trying to tell Bulls fans to have patience and the fact that you are going to develop best over time. You have one of the best world-renowned basketball developers there. The shooting coach is there, right? I've seen some crazy comments as well from Bulls fans, some saying like, oh, well, Peter did his job. Whenever is developing stopping? Like, you always need to develop, right? Like, it's not to the point to where it's like, oh, we're going on. Like, constructing solid player development infrastructure is one of the most important things in building a team. Look at some of the teams that we talk about kind of always being really well coached, right? It's teams that can develop and get the most out of players. And even some of those players go on, like with the Miami Heat role players go on, and they never really get quite the same after leaving the Miami Heat. Part of that is because of what they do to develop guys down there, right? And so it's crazy, right? It's really what it comes down to. Joe Cali pointed out, right, and I hate when I got to give Joe Cali credit for his writing, because again, I'm not the biggest Joe Cali guy, but I am a fair guy, right? Is that to say that that Joe Cali went on to say that Peter Patton was considered one of the more outspoken coaches on the staff. And one source informed him that opinions from people inside the organization have to fit those of Arturs Karnisova. This is the downfall, right? Like, let's be clear here. This is the thing that brings downfalls to organizations. When you have to have people around you that only fit the same mindset, you should want to have people around you that have a different perspective. And I've always said this, you want to have people around you that hold you accountable. We heard in the season that Peter Patton was one of the guys that was just like with people like, hey, like I'm trying here with Will, but I don't know what else to do, right? I'm not saying that that's specifically the reason why he was fired, but it creates this environment. And this is the dangerous tightrope that Arturs Karnisova has to write here, right? Is that this is what stupid front offices do. And this is the things like this start happening. And when they start happening, we also fired one of our head analytics people, right? So now we're down to one strategy person that goes out there and it gets advanced strategy and percentages and things like that. That, and listen, you want to be more modern. That's part of how you do that. It's just so many questions continue to be here because of the way that this franchise operates. And like I said on yesterday's episode, this still goes back to ownership. Not given, this is the type of overview that a really good owner that cares most about wouldn't be like, hey, what are we doing? What's going on with the Peter Patton thing? Now, I did say yesterday's episode as well that having Dan Craig and Wes Unseld here, two guys that have been heads of player development before, maybe that's why they felt comfortable making this move. But this still feels like a bad decision. And when your players start to be upset and you start hearing outcries about that, that's where things start. It's very rare that front offices recover from that and keep a lot of that same core around, is all I'm saying. And I guess we'll monitor it and see where the Chicago Bulls go with it. But with that said, heading into the offseason, you know, there are some Bulls fans. I actually did a poll and I asked you guys which Bulls players would you like to see move the most or think could be moved and things like that. Of course, Vooch got the majority of the vote there, right? That's no surprise there at all. Shouldn't be any surprise for anybody that in a poll where you're asking who could be moved, Nikola Vucevic is naturally the one everybody's going to go to. We got 48% of the vote. Patrick Williams got 33% of the vote. Kobe White got 3% of the vote. And then Billy Donovan, as far as players or things to move on from, got 16% of the vote, right? But Bobby Marks talked about the Chicago Bulls and what their offseason plans could be, and he says this. You're still kind of in that mixed stage where you're not one or two spots away from competing with the top 6 to 5. So who are you as far as taking contracts, or do you want to go into the cap space game in 26? That's probably no way I want to go. Build up your draft equity and parlay those players into more draft equity. That's the end goal. Now, we already heard from Arturs Karnisova that they are planning. It seems like they are making a plan to make a financial move in the summer of 2026, right? But they go on to point out three players that are on the Bulls trade block heading into the offseason. Number one, Nikola Vucevic. Should be no surprise to anybody. Vooch has seemed like somebody who is kind of ready to go, right? Ready to compete for more, maybe ready to have an organization that and coaching structure that's kind of more suited and fits his style a little bit more, right? You have 1 year left on Vooch's contract, and if you're going to move him and try to get anything back, no matter what the asset is, this is your last chance to do it, right? You're going to want to try to do that in the offseason. Of course, you can get pushed to the trade deadline, but you're probably going to want to try to do that. If the Bulls draft a center, that kind of puts that on that path even more, right? So Nikola Vucevic being one of the guys mentioned here isn't really too much of a surprise. The question is with Vooch's, how is Vooch's season really kind of viewed, right? By players. Vooch start off, I think a lot of people kind of forget, Vooch was the Bulls' best player at the start of the season. He was. Now, Kobe was putting up some good numbers. Dasgidi, the first four games, put up some good numbers, but Vooch was, through the first basically couple of months of the season, Nikola Vucevic played some of his best basketball in a Chicago Bulls uniform that you have ever seen since he joined the Chicago Bulls, right? And that was even with the more up-tempo style. We actually slowed down a little bit after the All-Star break. But when you look at it, Vooch started off in October, 20 points per game on 50% shooting, 45% shooting from three. The month of November, 21 points per game on 60% shooting, 47% shooting from three with 9.6 rebounds. The month of December, 20 points per game with 55% shooting and 42% shooting from three with 10 rebounds, right? January is where it got a little rough for Vooch. 18 points per game, 11 rebounds, but still 50% shooting, but 26% shooting from three. He got better in February with 34% shooting from three, but his numbers went even further down with only 14.8 points per game on 44% shooting from the field and 9.8 rebounds. 15 points the month of March, 18 points the month of April. So he got back close to finishing the season strong, where he shot 54% from three, 47% from three, and 54% from the field in the month of April to finish that season strong, right? So the up and down nature of Vooch, what that value is, we'll end up seeing. We know that the Bulls felt like they did some pretty good work on creating an offseason move for Nikola Vucevic. That's what it was, how it was communicated over the trade deadline. But we'll see what happens here. The next player that I have mentioned here is Zach Collins. Now, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit surprised to hear Zach Collins' name here. I think Zach Collins played really well as a member of the Chicago Bulls personally. I know that when he was better when he was in the starting lineup, of course. Once Vooch got back into that starting lineup and Zach Collins kind of got back to the bench, of course the numbers weren't the same, and they're not going to be. But when you look at how Zach Collins really impacted the Chicago Bulls, right, with rebounding, solid defensive play, kept his head up, right, was given effort even though sometimes his defense wasn't the best, right? Like that's what it comes down to. But overall, I think Zach Collins played pretty well for the Chicago Bulls, but it's not the type of good that I think you can look at and say, oh, but you absolutely can't move him. I don't think it's that good, but it is see what you have out there for him. He's another expiring contract. He's a veteran. We know veteran bigs in the league can be moved, and maybe teams look at that. But I kind of, especially if you draft a center, I think Zach Collins is kind of the perfect guy to keep around here. But we'll see if the Bulls view it differently. The surprising name to have on this list, though, for me, was Kevin Huerter. They had Kevin Huerter on this list as one of the players that could be on the trade block for the Bulls. Much for the same reasons that Zach Collins and Nikola Vucevic are, it seems like this list was really built around kind of expiring deals, veteran production, and because that veteran production is appreciated around the league. Kevin Huerter is 26 years old. He'll turn 27 before the start of the season, but this is a player that still fits your timeline, right? And you look at the three-point shooting that he brought, all those type of things. Like, Kevin Huerter's one of the few players that has a consistent three-point shot. Now, the thing that plays into this as well that I do think you have to look at is that how do Ayo Dosunmu and Lonzo Ball fit into what the Bulls are trying to do, right? Lonzo's going to be very difficult to move, mainly because of his injury history. You should have moved him at the trade deadline when you got that offer. You didn't. It is what it is there. You look at what he did for the Chicago Bulls. Over the last 20 games, 14 points per game, 3.5 rebounds on 45% shooting from the field and 37% shooting from three. 15 of those last 20 games, he was a starter, right? 1.1 steals per game as well, right? Because he was active on that defensive side of the ball. Kevin Huerter is a player that I don't know. I don't look at as a player that I per se want to move, because I think he can fit in anything that you do. Now, you don't have to work out spots, right? Maybe your plan is modest moving to the three and you draft a four. At that point, yeah, I mean, maybe you do look to move that. So it'll be interesting. I still don't really feel like we're going to see big, heavy moves from the Bulls this year, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's get into the mailbag for today, man. It is Saturday, so that means it is mailbag day. We've got five voicemails. I want to so voicemails from like Josh and Michael Korn. I did not forget you guys. We just had some callers that don't call in regularly, some first-time callers, so I prioritized those guys on today's episode. But if you left a voicemail, I will get to it on Sunday. I promise you guys have not forgot about you. This first voicemail we got, this one's from Troy.
What's good? Hey, this is Troy here, mate, down in Australia. So just a couple of quick little thoughts. Obviously, we've had the AK presser. Obviously, in terms of Josh Giddey, obviously, looking forward to him having his quick little break back down here in Australia. Obviously, he lives over in Melbourne. He's going to be down here for about 2 to 4 weeks, I think he said in the press conference, and then he's heading back to Los Angeles to get his off-season workout started. So hopefully we see him spending plenty of time with Peter Patton, if Peter Patton makes his way over to LA, or I'm sure he might even spend some time in Chicago as well. And, hey, maybe even a little bit of time with Johnny Dribble Too Much. We've seen what he's done with Kobe White, unfortunately not so much with Pat Williams. But, yeah, we'll see how the off-season goes as far as Josh is concerned. But now, as we head towards the lottery and all that, and I know you're going to be doing your draft prospects and shows on that, I've had a look at three guys today, which I'm sure you'll get into as well. Rashia Fleming, Thomas Sober, and Colin Murray-Boyles. Of those three, I'm probably highest on Rashia Fleming, you know, 6'9", 7'5" wingspan. Everything with this guy is up to just dunks and layups and three-point shots is, you know, looking at his highlights package on from No Ceilings. There's no mid-range game to this guy. It's just everything. Layups, dunks, and three-point shots. And he shoots the ball, the three-point. He's got a really quick release, which I like, and he's very, very accurate three-point shooter. Like, he was like 39% last season. Thomas Sorbo, gives me a little bit of a smaller version of Shaq and Patrick Ewing vibes. I'm not saying he's got that kind of game about him, but he just gives me those vibes. And as far as Colin Murray-Boyles is concerned, being a 6'7" big, I think he's just a bit too small to be considered a big in the NBA. But hey, I could be completely wrong. And hey, we'll just finish off with a quick plug for the Whole Lotta Ball Discord. If anyone wants to join it up, hit me up on Twitter at Whole Lotta Ball. Come join our Aussie group. It's only just gotten started. Hayes is on there, so you know you got some good stuff coming on that Discord. Come join us. All right, Hayes, have a great off season. Looking forward to that package coming to you soon, mate. Take care.
Yeah, unfortunately, Peter Patton wasn't retained. I mean, it's crazy that you left this voicemail talking about Josh Giddey, you know, getting to work with Peter Patton. And then I think probably a couple of hours after you left this voicemail, the Bulls removed Peter Patton. So that's an unfortunate thing. But it's really good to hear that Josh Giddey is planning on going back home to Australia for a month or so and then coming back over here with LA and working with guys, right? Working with trainers. And this is an important offseason for Josh Giddey, especially with the contract. Conversation is probably going to happen, and he probably wants to be back stateside for that. So go back home for a month, respect it, come back, get to work, and without having, you know, international play this offseason, and he's healthy, right, other than the wrist thing, but that just takes, you know, time to heal. He'll be fine there long term. I think this is a really important offseason for Giddey, and him hitting the gym, coming back out, firing up on all cylinders to start next season. I can't wait to see that. Now, as far as the three guys you mentioned, Rashia Fleming, love it. I think that if the Bulls can get Rashia Fleming, you then hopefully, right? And I say hopefully because when the Bulls drafted, Lauri Markkanen and then followed it up with Wendell Carter, the hope was there is that the Bulls were then going to have their power forward and center of the future locked in. So when I say hopefully, it's no disrespect meaning to like Rashia Fleming or anything like that. It just comes down to, you know, we'll see what happens, but Rashia Fleming is slated to go right around that area that the Bulls are now drafting around number 12, right? A 6'9", 240-pound power forward, undersized center combo, which we'll see what happens there. He's drawn comparisons to Pascal Siakam, Obi Toppin. Those type of comps are there for him. I would not be mad if he had 1.5 steals and 1.5 blocks per game for his career. His instincts as being a weak side defender also could be very important for a Bulls team that doesn't have the best perimeter defender. The length that he has is amazing there. The frame, you then would have, if you get Rashia Fleming to pair with Modest Bousillas, you have where the NBA is actually going. Versatile, interchangeable, forward options that really play a lot for you. I love it. A 7.5-foot wingspan. That is major, right? So, yeah, I think Rashia Fleming would be I would love if the Chicago Bulls were able to draft Rashia Fleming. And we'll see what ends up happening there. I still love Asa Newell for this team. Absolutely love Asa. But, I'm not mad at Rashia Fleming either. I think you have a really good chance. The Bulls, when you look at how some of the mocks are going, you have a really good chance of Derrick Queen, Rashia Fleming, or Asa Newell being all right there around 12. That's why I'm really happy that the Miami Heat did win yesterday, because it pushed the Bulls up further than, like, because they were slated to be 13th. Now they could be 12th. And a lot of guys, Thomas Sorber is around there as well. Another guy that you mentioned, who I love him, a 6'10", a legit 245, 50-ish pounds, right? 19 years old, one of the younger guys in this draft. I really like him, the length that he has, the running ability. Not the shot blocker that I would like to see him be, but I think that can round out and work as well. I love the idea of Sorber as well. I just think Sorber is just a little bit more raw than people are giving him credit for, but I'm not mad at him. And Colin Murray-Boyles, the size concern is legit there, but I talked about how, you know, I think the combination of him and Modest could work. But, you know, we'll go heavily into the draft conversation here sooner rather than later, so keep a lookout for that. Let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Phil.
Yo, what's up, man? My name is Philip Charles Vander Hayden IV. For anyone who doesn't know me, I know Hayes. I know a couple of these guys. I love everything you guys are doing there at Chicago Bears Central. Love the content, man. You guys are badasses. And you know what? You guys are also not afraid to admit when you're a little mistaken, unlike a lot of Bears media, or sorry, Bulls media. Woo, getting my shit mixed up here. But I just wanted to quickly, I wanted to leave a voicemail and say, Josh Giddey is the man. Kobe White proved me wrong, but I think if one of our three stars needs to be traded for another star, then it should be him. And Matas Muzelis is going to be a superstar. Those are my basic thoughts about this team. And also wanted to double down on Troy, a.k.a. Whole Lotta Bulls, Discord cell. Join this Discord. It's awesome. We have fun in there. And we talk ball without being assholes. All right. Have a good one, guys. And I can't wait to hear more content. You the man, Hayes.
If one of the core of the Chicago Bulls is traded, Kobe White. Here's the thing. I understand that I don't agree with it. I don't think we should move on from Kobe right now. I just don't. I know a lot of Bulls fans are all, like, it reminds me of, like, the Ryan Poles thing. Like, so many Bulls fans are, we got to move Kobe after the play-in performance. But, like, Kobe still had a way more consistent season than ever what he did. Really, when you look at it, his biggest dip was, he had a couple of bad stretches, but the other one was short. The biggest dip was in December, right? I think it was like a 5 or 6 game span in December where he was pretty bad, right? But other than that, he was pretty consistent. I'm not going to let one playing game kind of turn me on Kobe White. But I do. I see what where you're coming from, the angle that you're coming from, though. Because if you do move Kobe, if you're moving any of your core, Kobe's an expiring contract that has a tremendous value. So the other team trading for Kobe wouldn't have to match a huge salary, which could increase what you get back in picks or whatever else. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. I hope that they don't move Kobe, but if they do, I really hope that it's a smart move, if that makes sense. All right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from Korn.
What's the word, King Drip? It's your brother Korn, man. Let's get right into the bullshit. First of all, how the season ended, very disappointing. I had something that I had for the Bulls for a long time that I didn't have. And I think a lot of fans had. We had expectations. Shout out to the Heat, man. First 10 seed to make the goddamn play-in, right? Let you know what good coaching is, right? But forget all of that right now. I want to talk about what matters and what really matters in hand. The reason why I really called in. AK is a fucking idiot. He's a fucking dummy. He's fucking stupid. Some of the goddamn shit he does sometimes, it really takes me aback, man. The firing of Peter Patton to me is one of the worst moves. I don't get it. Fuck P. Will. If it's about P. Will, fuck P. Will. We know what he is. Why keep on beating on a dead drum? We know what he is. He's not going to be shit, and we're just going to live with it. But the development of Dalen Terry, Modis, Kobe, Giddey, man, it's just, bro, it's just like when I'm finally feeling good about this team, they always do something to make me be like, oh, fuck. Here the fuck we go again. The firing of Peter Patton is, to me, the dumbest shit. I know we got Wes Unseld Jr. and all them to be the leader, but this firing, it was shocking. And it just shows, man, like, you can never trust what the fuck AK say. Just can't trust it, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. I was excited for the off season, but the nerves is kicking back in, Drip. The nerves is kicking back in, man. Especially with this move that AK just did. All right, now, man. Love you like always, brother. C-Red.
The Peter Patton firing, I mean, I don't know what else to say in regards to the Peter Patton firing. Like, had a whole 24-minute episode on it. I started off today's episode on it. When it comes down to it, it just doesn't seem like a smart move. Doesn't seem like a smart move at all, and it upsets your players. And that's something that you, when you're trying to build, you're talking about you're trying to build a culture, you're trying to change things. That's not what you want to do. That's not the smart thing to do, but that's what the Bulls did. And ultimately, I guess we'll see where it shakes out for the Chicago Bulls if this ends up being the move, or maybe doesn't have as big of an impact as some of us are thinking. We'll end up seeing. It's just questionable. And Arturas just does some stupid shit. Just to be 100% frank, he does some stupid shit. And I guess we'll see what goes on there. But great voicemail there, Korn. Let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Antoine.
Hey, Hayes. My name is Antoine. I've been enjoying your YouTube channel so far. If you happen to shout this out, thank you. But that game for the play-in was just indicative of what the Chicago Bulls have been reeling from. We just have too many holes in the team right now. We need better interior defense. We need better rebounding. We need, like, better rim protection. Also, on top of that, we need to get rid of Billy Donovan. I said Billy Donovan was a bad coaching pick from the start, from this new regime. Like, the front office, I was like, if they pick Billy Donovan, we're going to be Garpax 2.0, and that's unfortunately what we were going to become. It took the Oklahoma City Thunder, like, 3 seasons to realize that Billy Donovan isn't their guy. And if Billy would have stayed in OKC, they wouldn't be anywhere near what they are today. I think the Bulls just really need to move on from this. We got Matis Buzelis. We got Kobe White. Those 2 guys I'm really high on. We just need to find somebody with better, you know, rim protection. I mean, I would say we should have went out and got Rui Hachimura to at least give us something, but I guess I'm asking for too much. But I, you know, just want to hear your thoughts on it. I could go on and on and on, but I'm just going to leave it at that. You take it easy. Go Bulls. See Red. Let's go.
Getting rid of Billy Donovan. I'm just, listen, it's probably not going to happen. And I think yesterday's move kind of highlights the fact that it's not going to happen. Like, Billy, AK wants yes men around him. Billy, and every time AK has talked about Billy Donovan, he talked about the collaborative part of Billy Donovan, that he, I don't know if he's a straight-up yes man or they just happen to just see and view things the same way, but Billy Donovan is goes right along with everything. I don't think he challenges AK on anything AK does. And so I'm starting to lose hope on that. Like I said before, the way that we finish the season, it's not going to change. If Billy Donovan starts off next season, and we play like we played at the end of this season, expect a contract extension from Billy Donovan. That just is what it is. Listen, I would love Taylor Jenkins here. Not as big on Mike Malone, but I would love Taylor Jenkins here. I do think Mike Malone is better than Billy Donovan, but I don't know what the margin is there, right? But Taylor Jenkins is a guy that I would absolutely love to be the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. But again, AK, don't expect it to happen. We'll see what happens there. Now, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one's from Isaiah.
Yo, hey, this is Isaiah. Second time caller, man. And pretty much just want to kind of like reflect on the end of the season, man. And like I said, I always appreciate you, you know, you being unbiased and giving out information, man, and just being real about it. You know, I guess as a Bulls fan, bro, I've kind of been annoyed with other Bulls fans, bro. It's like they be hating on us even more than other teams, you know what I'm saying? Like even more than rivals or whoever that might be now, because we don't really shit to rival anybody, but. It's like, man, it's like one bad game, I'll trade this person. No, one bad game is this, is that. It's like, man, can we just take for one bit? In my opinion, like, we won 39 games last season, and we won 39 games this season after facing the adversity that the team faced, after, oh, y'all too young, y'all going to win 28 games. Like, they came back and they won 39. You know, I'm not seeing this like some big accomplishment, but I'd rather have the 39 this way than the 39 that Zach, DeMar, and Alex way. Because that was like, man, y'all got stars here, and we're barely winning. You know, this is like, man, you got a bunch of young, scrappy guys, and we're not winning per se, but, like, we're winning more games than they thought we could. You know what I'm saying? And if we started the season, I'm not saying we would be 50 wins, but I think we'd be like the Magic right now, like 42, 43 wins, somewhere in there. That's just my personal opinion. But it's like, even toward the end of the season, I mean, just like last game, I mean, Io's been out. Lonzo's been out. You know, and I only thing I'm really, really genuinely upset with, like, this season about is, like, Jalen Smith. Like, we've seen him for 10 games, and we don't see him. You know what I'm saying? Don't know what went on there, but I guess that's one of my main irritations was just with Jalen Smith not playing. I get he makes mistakes, but it's like, dude, we just signed him to, what, a 4-year contract in the offseason? Like, let's open him up. Let's see what he can do. Pause. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, bro, ultimately, I can't wait for Vooch to be gone. He has to go. No exceptions. No exceptions. He has to leave. You know, hopefully we get Io and Joe back. You know, I loved what Trey Jones did, but if we can't get him, we can. If we, you know, whatever that might look like. But all the trade Kobe talk, like, bro, you're crazy. Just because he didn't perform and dropped 50, it's like, man, he had a bad game, bro. Of course it was in the worst possible time, but it's like, come on now. Like, the rest of the season, we was hyped. We was teased. Oh, Kobe this, Kobe that. Oh, All-Star this, All-Star that. But the one bad game, all of a sudden, fuck him. Like, I hate these niggas, man. Like, honestly, sometimes I hate hearing from them because they don't even watch for real. They just look at the highlights or look at the box score, and they're like, ah, bad team, bad players. Like, yeah, but that's pretty much all I got, man. Just wanted to get that little piece out there. Appreciate you always, man. We watch you daily, bro. You keeping it real. Appreciate you, Abe.
You're spot on. Winning 39 games with the young cores, that's 24, I think like 24 and a half is the average age of our roster. It's a lot different than winning 39 games with when your core is 30 plus, right? It's a lot different that comes down to. And so, yeah, I do view it a little bit differently than what I did it last year. And so you got to try to build on that. You got to try to build upon that, right? The Bulls finished the season with a pace of a 47-win team. Now, I'm not saying that that should be the expectation to come into the season, but I do think that a goal of 42 to 45 wins, again, a goal, not an expectation, of 42, 44-ish wins, I think that should be what you should be aiming for next year. That goal, try and avoid the play and see if you can get up to the sixth seed, see how high you can get up to that area. I think that that's a really good goal for the Bulls based off what we know so far this season. That could change. It could be strengthened. It could be weakened by what they decide to do this offseason. But I will see, right? We'll see. But I don't think that that's an off-basis goal for this team. Now, I have my doubts with AK. What is he going to do? Even Billy Donovan sometimes with his coaching decisions. But we'll see what ultimately happens. Now, as far as people who are saying trade Kobe just because of his playing performance are stupid. I mean, just to be frank, they're stupid. Now, there were some people that legitimately had some reasons when you're looking at contract and the value and those type of things that we're looking at and saying maybe we should think about trading Kobe. And I kind of, like, those people aren't stupid because they're having a thought process, but there are a lot of people who literally turned on Kobe White just because of his playing and performance. It reminds me of Ryan Poles, if you guys are Bears fans. At the end of the season, everybody, oh, Ryan Poles never did anything good, even though he did a lot of things good. But then the moment that Ben Johnson was hired, and then when he made a trade for Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson, it was like, oh, you know what? Ryan Poles has made some, it's like, fans can be so fickle, right? And, you know, it is what it is. But we'll see what the decision that the Bulls make overall. And it is up to Kobe as well to prove that last season was not a fluke. Like, he's going to be able to play that, and him and Josh Giddey can be those guys for the majority of next season. And let's see if they can. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.